Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Trundlebed Tales, the podcast about Laura Ingalls Wilder's historic foodways, one-room schools, and other social history. This is Sarah Utah, the host and creator of Trundlebed Tales. Find us all around the web under Trundlebed Tales and on your favorite social media platform. If you have an account with a podcast provider, please leave positive feedback because that helps people find the show. And tonight's episode is 136, Marceline, Missouri, Walt Disney's Hometown Museum in 2022. And before we get going with that, I'm going to just do a little housekeeping. And I wanted to remind everybody that you can be a part of the show. You can call in to 714-242-5253. That's 714-242-5253. Or toll free, 1-877-633-9389. That's toll free, 1-877-633-9389. Or you can log on to chat. I want to remind everybody that there are episodes of the podcast, there are YouTube videos, there are pictures on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all over the place. So be sure to, as you're getting into the holiday spirit, look around for Trundlebed Tales. There is also a Christmas playlist on my YouTube channel that includes a short version of my Laura Ingalls Wilder Christmas program, and you can pay attention to that. I am also hopefully finishing up my annual Christmas shopping guide. I just have a few more things on that, and it's probably not going to get done tonight now, but I'm hopeful tomorrow night we'll get that done. I wanted to recommend that you keep an eye out on the Almanzo Wilder Farm Facebook page for Dean Butler's readings. And I wanted to clarify that you have to be a new member who joins between now and the start of the holiday season. There was a start date, but I don't remember what it was, and I'm not seeing it in my notes right now. But so anyway, he's going to be reading four more times before Christmas, and sometime during that period, if you want to get his free Christmas download, you have to become a new member in the Almanzo Wilder Farm in Malone, New York. Be sure to check my episode that I just finished with all the Laura stuff going on in December. And I did want to stress, which I don't think I did enough in the actual episode, that there are only so many times that a group of actors wants to put on a Christmas carol. So give them another alternative for the Christmas season. Reach out to your local theater groups, to your community playhouses, to all that. Tell them there are these Laura options available. Now, they have different ways on how they choose their plays, but let them know that they could do a Laura play. And I think we hopefully get some more bookings out there. And I think that's about all I wanted to say about what's going on right now. So I think we'll call that good for the housekeeping. Okay, now I am stepping in to this episode in Marceline, Missouri. I had already done an episode where I talked about my first trip, and I had done an episode where I talked about Rothville, which is, of course, where Laura's family left Pepin to move to. They had bought some land from a guy who'd been in the Civil War and had a lot of land around Rothville, and he'd broken in smaller sections and sold it, and Pa had bought one, and it didn't really stick, and he left and went on to independence, but it was in there. And the reason why that is important, if you haven't been paying attention, is because after I went on my 2019 Laura trip, I was traveling by myself, and so I decided, instead of just going straight down to Mansfield, Missouri for wilder days, that I would swing over to Marceline and get to cross off visiting Disney's hometown from my to-do list. And it was only after I'd gotten back, it was like a couple months after I got back, and I'd been looking up something about Rothville, and I was looking at the little information thing about Rothville, and it said in the nearby towns, other things you'd like to see, which is pretty common in that kind of brochure, and it said Marceline, and I was like, what? I was just in Marceline, and it is a county south, but it isn't a very far distance from Marceline. So I was like, oh no, I can't believe I was that close and didn't go. And so I said, well, I have to go back now. And my friend Kelly very nicely agreed to go with me. And so once we were going to Rothville anyway, she's not really as big a Laura person as I am, but she is a big Disney person, and so we definitely were going to do another Marceline visit. And this having been my second visit, I saw a lot more than I did the first time, because the first time, if you paid attention to my little video about it, I was driving in and almost drove off the road, because there was the house Walt Disney lived in. And I wasn't expecting it to be right there. And I wasn't expecting it to be right off the main road. And I was like, oh my God, there's Walt's house. And so that kind of threw me off. So I can't say that I had done the best job of fitting things in mind spatially, because I had been still so blown away that this was Walt's house and that I was getting to see it. And you don't get to go in, but it was, if you're not a Disney person, I'm sorry, but it's a big deal. So coming in this time with Kelly, we first went to the hotel and checked it in, and it was the Disney themed hotel in town. And it was really quite clever, because frankly, it's one of those things where it was clearly once originally a motel. And for people who have not been around long enough to stay in them, it was a motel because it was a motor hotel, and it was designed so you would pull up right to the front door of your room and your car would be like right there. And I had really forgotten how handy that is. It really truly is. You just have your car right there. But this was one of those kind of motels, and they tend to be kind of smallish rooms. But this particular hotel, because of that Disney connection, they themed the rooms to the different resorts in Disney. Now, are these the same rooms? No. No, they're not even close. No. But there were some really cool ones, and we ended up getting the Wilderness Lodge-themed room, which is dedicated to Wilderness Lodge and Bambi. And I have to say, it was a super nice room. It was really more like an apartment. It was an entire floor of a house, basically. I think it was the owner's original, the original owner's house that went with the motel. I'm not sure about that. But, you know, there were these little, pretty small rooms, a whole row of them, and then there's this house. And we got the house. It was, I took some pictures, and hopefully I'll be doing a video on that later, and you can see it. I'm just not up that far time-wise in my video editing. But it was, and I'm not going to say that it was up to Disney standard, but it was really nice, and it was way more than I expected for the price. There were two separate rooms. The TVs had Rucos. There was a full kitchen, and it was just lovely. So we stayed in the Hotel Marceline, and I have to say, if you get a chance, stay there. There was some talk of them maybe selling it, so I'm not entirely sure how long it will be there, but I hope it is and that you stay there. So we checked in there. We ran out, went to the Rossville site, tried to find the house of the guy who sold them the land because we had a little brochure that said it was there, did not have the actual address. And so we drove around trying to find it, didn't, and went back to Marceline. It is still around. I tracked down the lady who wrote the brochure for the Rossville site, and she had driven by it. I said, well, is it still there? She said, I haven't been there in a while. She went back and looked, and yes, it is still there. I think it was probably one of the houses that had trees around them, and we just couldn't identify it. So I talked about that before, and then we got to Marceline, and Kelly had some work she had to do that night, and so we really didn't do anything in Marceline proper until the next morning, and we started out at Ma Vic's, which is a restaurant they have on the square. They have paper placemats, and there's all sorts of cartoonists and people who've made the Disney trip that are professional artists have done things on their paper placemats, and they have them around and framed, and so it's a pretty cool thing. It is a very local coffee house type place. I have eaten at those kind of places quite a bit, but it's always a shock for them when someone is a tourist and shows up in them, because they're really just, you know, normal people going to their normal breakfast place, and why would anyone come from out of state to eat here? So we had breakfast there, and it was on the main street, and this was the first place I kind of got a little bit discombobulated, because we were parked there by Mom Vic's, and I was going to drive over to the museum, and Kelly said, well, there's this park here, let's just walk over. And I hadn't really realized it was that close, but it really, really was very close from that area. So we went and headed over across Ripley Square. Now, this was the park that was named after E.P. Ripley. He was the head of the railroad and donated this land for this park. He did that back when Walt was a boy. And when Walt was making the Disneyland Railroad, he called it the E.P. Ripley after this same guy. And this park was sort of the center of town and socialization and everything for the town when Walt was there. So he'd go there a lot, and this was a spot he really knew. And in that park, there is a train, and it is a steam, it's a diesel locomotive, and it is huge and big and black, and it has been sitting in this park since before Disney came to it. So there's photos of him when he and Roy came back by the same train that's still there. And so we walked over past that, and we got to the pond. Now, apparently this used to be a somewhat bigger pond, and you could rent boats on it and go on that thing, and it is not that big anymore, but it's still there. And in fact, one of my videos that are my trundle bed trails, where we do little nature videos, is of this pond. So if you want to, you can go back and see exactly what I'm talking about. And we kept going, and the museum was right there. But the thing that led us on after we saw the pond was the Autopia. Now, Autopia was a ride that Walt helped create that was one of the futuristic rides of Tomorrowland, because it was showing the future back in 1955 of a future where there would be interstates everywhere and people would be driving cars. And the Autopia cars were little, like, I don't want to go too far into it because this isn't actually exactly an Autopia ride, but they were little cars and you could drive them. And when it opened up the first time, you could just steer them wherever you wanted to, like they were real cars. They have since decided that was terrible idea and you're on a track. But it was one of the few things to do in Tomorrowland, and it was super popular. And looking for more people eating rides that were quick, they did a junior Autopia, or midget Autopia, and this was for people that were smaller, littler kids. And it was a littler track. So they had one of these cars in the museum, and I'd seen it before. It was in there. They apparently originally had had six. They didn't know if they'd get any of them going again. And they had this be step two after having the museum itself. Step two was always going to be restoring this ride, because up here a little bit. So what it was a Mark I Aero I can't read my writing there. Something tracked junior automobile by the Aero Development Company. It was made in Mount View, California in 1957. It was known as Midget Autopia, and it was by the Storybook Land Canal Boats, and it was there kind of as an added inducement, a people eater that they didn't really have to create an entirely new thing for, because it was just a junior version of what they'd already done. So it sat there till the World's Fair, and part of the 1964-1965 World's Fair in New York, which was not an official World's Fair, which is another whole episode, but it was sort of the Disney World's Fair, and there is a documentary series called At the Fair, which I highly recommend, that talks all about this fair. And actually, Kelly, my friend who was out with me on this trip, also recommended that I watch that, and I agree with her. It is a very good documentary series. But anyway, the last thing, one of the last things Walt did for that World's Fair was he had gotten involved with like four different places that were sponsoring attractions at the World's Fair with the idea that after the fair was over and the company wouldn't need them anymore, he could move them back over to Disney World. So the last one he had set up to start was It's a Small World. And so they decided to put the Small World attraction right where the Midget Autopia was, since it was just a repeat anyway, and they had this extra ride. Now, they had never gotten rid of a Disney ride to another company before. That just wasn't something they did. If it was a Disney company ride, it was Disney exclusive. But Walt had had a long tradition with Marceline. Now, he wasn't born in Marceline, but the family moved there in 1906. And in 1949, he made So Dear to My Heart, which was based in part on his memories of Marceline. And he had them build the barn he remembered in Marceline as the barn in that movie. And he had gotten invited invited back to Marceline to dedicate the city pool in 1956. Roy and Walt Disney, they were going to name it for him, and they said, you know, if you can move the opening date to this date, we'll come and we'll return to Marceline and we'll do a big ceremony and we will attend. And so they did. And then in 1960, the school was renamed for Walt, and Walt donated a flagpole out of the Olympics that he had helped design. And so they brought the Olympic used flagpole to the town. And that was the only place outside of Disneyland that the Disneyland flag was allowed to fly. And so when they were to 1966 and they needed to clear the spot for It's a Small World, Roy and Walt decided to donate that Midget Autopia car or set system ride to Marceline. And so they set it up and it operated in Marceline from 1966 to 1977. The track eventually couldn't use the cars anymore because it isn't like they had replacement parts. And it just got to be too big a deal, but they left the track there. And it became part of the playground, but eventually had to be removed for safety. And the layout had been designed by Imagineering. And when I was there, they were talking about this as a project. They had the one car they'd restored, and they were talking about how having this Midget Autopia recreated and running again was going to be step two after the museum of the Marceline project. Walt had designed this idea of creating a living history park in Marceline. And the people in Marceline had really seemed to think that this was going to happen. When Roy took over, because Walt had died, he'd said, we're going to do four things. We're going to do the California School for the Arts, which was apparently the worst, hardest thing. We are going to finish Walt Disney World, at least the theme park in Florida. We are going to do the Mineral King skiing ski resort area, which never happened, sadly. And we're going to do the Marceline project. And it turned out that all Roy really had the ability to do was two of those projects, CalArts and Walt Disney World. So that's what he did. And Marceline got shuffled out of the deck, but the Marceline people had never given up on it, and they were raising money for this track, and they were talking about it as a someday when I was there in 2019. And having been involved with quite a few of these projects, I was like, yeah, they're going to keep raising money for it. Maybe someday they'll get it, blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently, what they hadn't said when they were saying that there was going to be this restored track someday was they actually had raised the money. And it must have been like a month after I was there that they had actually rebuilt the track. So they have the track there now, and they have bought some new cars, so there's parts available. They aren't exactly like the ones the Imagineers did, but the track is the same one, same pattern that Imagineering had designed. And they don't have it running all the time, but during special events, they have the cars and they'll get it out. And during non-special events, you can go walk the track, which I just thought was incredible. I couldn't believe they had actually managed to do this. And you know, maybe I am not giving them enough credit, and they are indeed going to be able to pull this off, and maybe there will be a Marceline Living History Agriculture Park, because I was not seeing this as something that was going to happen in the near future, and by gosh, it is there. So we went over and we walked the track and we read all the signs and all that. And then we walked around to the other side where the museum was. Now, I was thinking that you couldn't take videos or pictures in it. And I had remembered that wrong. It was that you could take pictures, but you could not take videos. So Kelly and I went in and we did the whole track. And it was mostly the stuff I remembered before. We did not sit and watch the documentary, which I hadn't last time either. It was in a hurry, but I knew we were going to leave this time. We were just spending the one night there, so we didn't have a really long time. So we didn't watch their documentary, though I really would have liked to. And we went around and saw all the stuff and all the things they had. And unfortunately, I spent some time alone in the gift shop. So somebody ended up buying several books on Disney and a Disneyland flag. So I now have my own Disneyland flag. It's a small one. It isn't a flagpole one. So I have the official Walt Disneyland flag, which is, I think, just the most perfect thing I could possibly have added to my Disney collection. It is just so great. I had talked about the last time I was there, I think mostly of what you could see. They have family pieces there. Most of the things they have that are original are through Ruth, who was Walt and Roy's younger sister. She was the baby of the family. And when she passed on, she donated all the stuff that her family didn't want to the Marceline Museum, because she thought it would be great if there would be this representative of their family in what they all considered their hometown. At least Walt and Ruth did, and I think Roy. So that's what was the basis of this. And so there was little rooms of different themes going along. And then they had also gotten hooked up with the guy who did the Viewmaster. He did the Viewmaster pictures. Now, if you are young enough and remember 1970s Viewmasters thing, they were just incredible. They were these dioramas of scenes out of books or movies that were just so, so carefully detailed. And they would take them, if you have no idea what a Viewmaster is, it was the updated version of the stereoscope where each eye's picture, there's a different picture for the right eye and the left eye, and they are slightly separated. So when you look through those two images, one per eye, it creates a 3D image. So it looks like you're not looking at a picture, but you're looking at something that's 3D. And this guy who had done backgrounds for that for his whole career had loved Disneyland, and he had written to Disneyland when Walt was still alive and asked for blueprints. And in something they would not do today, they said sure and sent him the blueprints of Disneyland, and he spent the rest of his life as part of his hobby in creating these little super detailed, highly accurate models of Disneyland. And he didn't get it all done, but he has quite a few. He's the Spillwaite's Cottage, and it's just an incredible thing to see, and that's about half of the upstairs. They also had gotten very involved with D23, which is the Disney official fan club, and they have a couple events through the year, and they have people who were cast members, Disney cast members, Disney employees, a long time connected through the Marceline Museum, and they have a lot of stuff there from early Disneyland as part of that. But part of the Marceline stuff is that D23 has had events in Marceline. And after we were there, I found out that there had been another D23 event there, and they had themed it on Pollyanna. And they had recreated all these things from the movie, including there's a scene. If you have not seen the Hayley Mills version of Pollyanna, go do that. And there's this part of the scene where they do a singing flag, and all of the little costumes together make an American flag. And they did that. And they did the street festival with the selling the little crystal things to make rainbows and all that stuff. And it just looked like the most fun ever. And so I just may have to see if I could possibly get there for one of their D23 events, because that was amazing. Okay. So we did the museum, and after the museum, we walked back across the park. And there we saw, just down the block from where we parked, was the Marceline Post Office. And this was pretty cool because it had, I'm looking for my notes here. Okay, so there was the United States Post Office. And there is not, and it got, first off, it got chosen September 11th, 1968, to be the release ceremony for the Walt Disney stamp, which if you have not seen the Walt Disney stamp, you really should. It's a lovely stamp, and they don't do stamps for living people, so they did this one after Walt had passed away. And there had been different places that wanted to have this release party. Burbank, California, which is where the studio is.
Kansas City, Missouri, which is where Walt moved after he left Marceline and moved back to start his animation business there, which totally folded and bankrupted, and so he had to go to California. Anaheim, California, which is where Disneyland is, and Chicago, Illinois, which is where Walt was actually born. But they picked Marceline to be the release party. So Roy came there, and Lillian and Roy's wife, which I think is Edna. I did not write that down for some reason, because, of course, why would I have? And it was later, November 11th, 2003, it was renamed for Walt Disney. It does, however, not say that. It just says United States Post Office Marceline, because apparently they don't do new signs unless they remodel the location. And if they remodeled this, they would have to give up this absolutely gorgeous mid-century modern post office, because they would have had to totally revamp it, and that would be the only way they could get a new sign. So they are just as happy not having a new sign. This is that 1930s to 1950s looking post office, and in it there was a mural. And I said, well, is this a Thomas Hart Benton mural? Because Thomas Hart Benton was a Missouri artist, and he was very well known for doing a certain regionalist style. So in Iowa, we know of Grant Wood. In South Dakota and the Northeast, they know of Harvey Dunn. There are other artists that were part of that regional movement, and one of them was Thomas Hart Benton. Now, these murals were not actually by Benton, but they were done by someone who was sort of a protege of his. The murals that are in the post office were part of the construction when it was built in 1936. And the person who actually did the art was Joseph John Paul Meert, M-E-E-R-T. He was born in Brussels in 1905. After he studied in Europe, he arrived in the United States and became a student of Benton at the Kansas City Art Institute. He was hired as a teacher at the Art Institute in 1940 and worked with Benton on some of his work. Mert had been hired to do murals in three post offices, and in addition to Marceline's, he also did Mount Vernon, Missouri's, and Spencer, Indiana's. And the Marceline mural looks a lot like one Benton would have done, and they used curving lines of motion using basic colors. It depicts the history of Marceline's economy of coal mining and agriculture, and it is 12 by 5 feet. And as you go into the post office, the mural is on the right-hand side, and you can of the open office area, and you can see that it is a New Deal Works Project Administration mural. And I should sometime do an episode on the Works Progress Administration, because it was really this incredible thing that did so much good. And it was just sort of such a, you never would have thought it would have happened. So I should do an episode on that. But this is anyway part of that, which one of the things they did was hire artists of various kinds to create art. So they were getting income while having their or practicing their craft. So that's what this mural was from. There are quite a few of them around. The one I have seen the most is at the Waterloo Public Library in Waterloo, Iowa. They have a set of the murals up of this style. And if you get the post office that was built sometime in the 20s or the 30s, quite often they will have, if it's of any size, they will have one of these murals. And they are well worth looking at. All right, so we finished looking at the post office and we talked to the guy, and I got a hand canceled postcard because it's what you do. And they do have a special cancellation for Walt Disney. It is super worth it. So this is all stuff you should do on your Marceline trip. Now, it does say that there is like historic stuff there. And I really didn't see that much. It was, there were some photos up from when the two big event days they had, the renaming and the launching of the stamp. But there just wasn't a lot of stuff. But it's worth going. You see the mural. You get your Walt Disney thing stamped. You take your picture by the itty-bitty sign that says Walt Disney Post Office. It is worth it. So the other thing that we wanted to talk about was they had talked about the Coke wall a lot. And when I was there the first time, I thought they were saying Coke, small C-O-K-E, which is a fuel source. And I'm not going to explain the difference between that and coal, but it was something that made sense to me that they might have something with the railroad that would be a coke wall, where it would be, you know, where they would store this type of fuel for the railroad. I was wrong. What they were saying was Coke, capital C-O-K-E, as in Coca-Cola. And they have this big mural, and the mural is from, 2015, when they were celebrating this little soda fountain there that sold Cokes, and that is what Walt based the Coca-Cola a store in Disneyland on this store in Marceline. And so there's a big wall there that says Coke. And let's see. And then the other thing that I wanted to make sure we saw in the regular downtown part was the Walt Disney Elementary. Now, it has in front of it the flagpole from the Olympics that Walt Disney gave them. And the flag they had, the Disneyland flag, is now in the museum. And I'm not sure if they have one they fly to. I imagine it might just be the American flag too, but by now. But they had this flag, flagpole. And so I was like, it's the flagpole Walt got for the Olympics. Yeah, I took way too much pleasure out of this. And then I went down to the elementary school, and this was, of course, the elementary school was closed. It was Saturday, and I don't think it was schools in session then anyway. And if school had been in session anymore, you know, it used to be a lot easier to get into schools than it is now. And so I doubt I would have been able to get in, even if it had been open and there were kids there. But they always talk about these dioramas, these murals that they had the Disney artists do for the school. And they were supposed to be in the sort of opening part of the school. So I went up and looked in the windows, and I took pictures with my camera lens right up to the window. And there's this like giant fake ribbon with heads of various Disney characters on it. Now, I'm not sure if that's the only murals they have, but I'm kind of thinking maybe it was. So you can see those murals. Let's see. And then we also went out then to the Disney farm, and you cannot tour the house. I wish you could. You cannot. They do have a little bench thing, and they have a sign that says that the house was the one that the Disney family moved to in 1906 when they started raising Wolf River apples, which there should be a post on Wolf River apples coming soon too, I hope. And that they had in 2001 rebuilt the replica barn on the farm. And there is a path from where you can park. There's a little parking lot. And then you can take a walk down the path, and they have signs pointing out various things. And Walt had always talked about the Dreaming Tree, which was a particular tree that he would go and hang out under, which makes sense to me because I had a tree like that. But that tree, unfortunately, had, I'm looking for my note on the date. Okay. It had, they'd taken three saplings from the tree in 2003. And one is in Disneyland, one is right by the original Dreaming Tree, and one is in a hidden spot on the Disney farm where hopefully it will be safe. And in 2008, the tree died. And between then and 2015, it was allowed to stay in situ. In 2015, it fell down, and there is part of it in the Walt Disney Hometown Museum. So you can actually go and touch that part. And so we went and saw the son of the Dreaming Tree, and we walked on out to the replica barn. And the replica barn is covered in signatures, which are messages to Roy and Walt. And as a museum person and a park person, I think this is a terrible idea. And they are inviting all sorts of trouble. But the entire inside of the barn is covered with these little notes and wishes. And then there are benches out there that you can write on. And after they get covered up so much, they put them up by the museum and in town and around, but you're only supposed to be able to write on the ones in the barn. And there are museum people listening who are making terrible faces right now. And there are park people listening who are thinking about the liabilities that this is. I mean, I do not know who is handling their liability insurance, but I cannot believe they are fully aware of the situation. But anyway, so we went out, we saw the barn, we walked around the area, we walked up and we looked at the house, which the house the original house had an addition built on it in the 1980s. And it was built with the idea of preserving as much of the original house as possible. So it has that extra addition, but the original house is inside it. So if somebody in the future wanted to turn it into a living history park and have the house be the one that Walt lived in, they could easily remove the addition and have the original house back. And I think that is most of what I wanted to tell you about. Hit all of those. There is also a swimming pool that Walt and Roy came back to dedicate, but I did not have luck finding that, and we were out of time. Let's see. 70 trains still pass through Marcelina Day. And I think the artwork in the post office is called Contemporary Life in Missouri. And I think that's about it. I could mention that it was sort of a funny thing. There was right on the other side of the square from the Ma Vicks, it was a Odd Fellows Club and a Masonic Lodge were right next to each other. And you normally didn't see that. It was super weird. There were these two huge, like 3-4-story buildings, you know, massive buildings. And then there was this tiny little building in between them. It was just the oddest thing. Apparently there was a Carnegie Library in town also, and we did not visit that. And I think that is about what I had to say. Now, I will tell you that the Marceline Foundation has a tour that you can listen to on a self-guided tour. They have these little QR codes around town, and they take you to a website. And even if you aren't in Marceline, you can listen to it. It's on the website. And I will include a link to that in the show notes. And I think that's about all I have to say about Marceline. It was a great trip. The photos they had for the Pollyanna event were incredible. I hope I can get down there for that sometime. The fact that they have the Midget Autopia running is incredible. I really thought this was going to be one of those long-term goals that was out there for, you know, like 20, 30 years, but nope, it's done. It's running. So they could well, there may be a Disney park to visit in Marceline yet, or at least a Disney inspired park in Marceline about agriculture. And if there is, I will definitely go back. I think it was worth a second trip just because if you are a Disney fan, it takes you a little bit to realize how close everything is and kind of the geographic layout of the town. I don't think I got that at all the first time I visited. And like any place, it's better to do research first and find out what some of this stuff is. So a second trip is almost always better. And I think that is about it. Now, I still might have another episode on Marceline, not immediately, but I'd like to have one with the people who are running the museum to get an idea on where they're going from here, because it's just such a cool thing. And I guess I didn't talk about the stuff that went on because they had a special a performance area there. So part of the deal they were making with big stars getting to go across the country on the train was that they would make them a special deal if they would stop and do a performance in Marceline. And so they had all sorts of big Hollywood studio stars do performances there. And that alone would be worth finding out more about. So with that, I guess I am about done. We are coming up on December, which usually means we have the Looking Back episode coming up next month and looking ahead, hopefully in January, but it may be later depending on luck I have finding stuff. There was that one glorious year where I looked and all the dates for events were posted on the websites for all the lore sites by the beginning of January. That was such a glorious year. Well, before that, be sure to look for my annual Christmas shopping guide. If you haven't seen this year's come out yet, check out last year's. Thank you for joining me for Trundlebed Tales. I hope you had a great visit and that you will want to be back soon. And remember to always brighten the corner where you are.